order.
What's the bill about right now?
I think we have enough people actually in their seats, so we're going to continue on. And I think we're at the point, the motion on the floor is for 5.1, so we'll invite the administration to begin their presentation.
Thank you very much, Acting Mayor. As I think was stated before lunch, the Community Services Department doesn't have a particular presentation, so I'll just do a few opening remarks and then introduce you to the branch managers and the areas that they oversee, and so that your questions can be directed. The capital focus in Community Services is on renewal of existing facilities and parks, and as well as advancing some of the key elements of the business, be it recreation facilities, fire halls, parks, and partner projects. And the growth projects that would be in front of you have been developed based on council approval of criteria and the plans in some form or another. So those will come up, the partner projects will come up, I think, after the administration is finished, but we'll, as was stated, be here to answer administrative questions on that. With some of the partner projects, we've collaborated significantly and have a collaborative approach with other business agents, business entities in the department, and in with the partners if they are city projects. So with me today to answer questions about specific projects or specific areas of our oversight are branch managers and directors intimately involved with these projects and members of the Capital Priorities Committee. Adam Rockland, to my left, is the branch manager of Project Management and Maintenance Services, and with him is Roger Jebney, the director of Parks and Facility Development. We also have Ken Block, the fire chief. We have Lyle Brenes from Community Strategies and Development, and up in the favorite Hollywood Squares are Rob Smith from Community Recreation Facilities and Heather McCray from Neighborhood Parks and Community Recreation. With that, I'll just turn it back to you to direct any questions or any comments to us as your wish.
Well, thank you. Well, the board is lit up like Hollywood Square, so we can begin with questions, and we'll start with Councillor McKean.
Thank you. I actually hadn't hit my button.
It was still on, so still would you on. Like so, to move on?
No, I'll ask a couple questions. And if I'm ahead of myself, I apologize. Louise McKinney, Riverfront Park, 4.228. Is that all coming out of this capital budget cycle?
Councilor McKean, that money is being deferred because of the impacts of the LRT. Some of those projects will be put off until the park's available. We are still doing some work around the trail and some improved access in the next year.
So we're hamstrung. We don't have all the money we need in this capital budget cycle. So I'm asking, does that free that money up, or does it just get put aside somewhere and it's actually recorded as part of the number?
That's entirely your decision. From our perspective, it would be freed up for your direction back for savings or redirection.
Ms. Cochran then advised me on the wisdom of pulling that money out now and saying, hey, we got $4.2 million. In 2019, would it come back as a recommended project? I've just, you know, how we do that, I don't necessarily want to see it disappear, but if we can free up some money now, why not?
I think in the course of your question, you almost answered it. Because the wisdom is we don't own the company. You do. We don't have any other choice, but when something can't be done as we told you it would be, to flag that for your future, your further decision making. Do we want it to come back? Absolutely. Is it a needed project when the time is more Sorry, I can't see you when I'm... Is it a necessary project? It was so necessary it got approved. Circumstances have made it not...
1 second, please. Can you move away? Thanks. Go ahead.
Circumstances have made it not able to be done in the way we told you. We have to come back and tell you that and offer up... from a one city point of view, there's lots of other projects you may want to debate what to do with.
Ms. Rosen, any advice? It's a good project. It needs to be done at some point. LRT construction would delay it. And what I'm asking, I guess, is if we pull this money out, do I have any comfort as the council representing this area that it'll appear back as a priority?
Yes, I think that you do have some comfort based on the fact that it's not only a priority for you but for community services as well. So it would automatically get into the queue with respect to the next capital plan. If you need a greater degree of assurance than that, Councillor McKean, you can actually ask your colleagues to vote in favor of a motion to ensure that it comes back funded in the next capital plan.
Okay. Councillor McKean, I'd like to maybe clarify over here, Councillor.
There you are.
There was already approximately $4 million that was deferred out of the Louise McKinney Park budget as part of a budget adjustment that took place in the spring.
Yeah.
So this is what was left in order to make sure the design continued in a timely fashion.
Oh.
So that initial money would need to be built into the next four-year capital, as well as if there's any money of this deferred out. So I just want to make sure that it's not just this money.
So I'm not quite as clear now. So this $4.2 million, how much of that is needed for design so that there could be work done for 2019 and we can get on it?
I defer to the department on the design piece.
Councillor King, part of its design, part of it is construction in 2018. My apologies when I answered your question initially. I thought you were referring to the $4 million that we'd already taken out of the profile.
Okay, so there is this $4.2 million is, in fact, can be put to use to get the Riverfront Park rolling when LRT construction is completed.
That's correct. So the park would reopen with the completions as the LRT is kind of, any disruptions to the park are done.
Okay. Well, I'll stop there for now. I'd have more.
Councillor List Walters.
Thank you. First, I'd just like to make an amendment to the main motion, if I may. I can give this to you, Madam Clerk, that the...
You can. It might not be a bad idea to do a full round of questions, but you have this right at this time, so if you want, you can.
Your advice is that I let the full round proceed?
Well, you'll use up your time asking questions to make motions, but if we go around and once the questions are exhausted, you don't need another round to do motions. So it's just going to cut into your question time. That's the only...
I'll stand down for a moment. Okay. Chief Block, I'd asked a question of the police about the P25 radios and the AFRACs, and some question about the provincial funding being guaranteed for the backbone of that. And I got that question answered. But can you? There's a budget item for you for I think about $3 million or so. Can you talk to me about the benefit of those, of that profile, of those radios, and that system?
Certainly. So our current radio system is referred to as an EDAC system. EDAC limits us to one manufacturer for radios. It's due to be replaced. The new AFRAC system operates under a different format, and the new format will allow us to explore multiple manufacturers, so it actually gives us the opportunity, I guess, to go to business and go through the bid process, which is a good thing.
So it gives us more options, essentially, in terms of the actual provider of the radio.
Absolutely.
Okay. What's your sense of when we're in a contract, we sign a contract and we can move to a different provider at the end of that contract? So it gives us that flexibility?
Correct.
Okay. That's good. Just a question about Rolling Miles Park, which is recommended in here. That was a long, how long was the sort of lead up in the community consultation into what we've actually determined needs to be funded?
We worked on that plan over the past 12 months.
Okay. So there was pretty good community engagement in that plan?
Well, there's been ongoing for years, quite frankly, because there was a lot of issues with the development on that park relative to the drainage and the substructure that prolonged it, and we kept the consultation going throughout. But specific to the budget item, as Mr. Jimmy says, last 12 months.
Okay. On the Great Neighborhoods piece, there's a couple spots where it talks about two things that I don't know what they are. One is the when it talks about supporting so there's the funding envelopes or revitalization, coordinated neighborhood redevelopment and improvements, and the neighborhood business development. And it talks about flight of families.
Talks about what, sorry?
Flight of families as an example of a program under Complete Communities.
Okay.
Can you tell me what that is?
I'm going to ask Ms. McCray to elaborate on that.
I can do that. It's not a program per se, but it was just used as an example. The program, the Great Neighborhoods program, is trying to stop the flight of families from the mature neighborhoods, so it's
okay.
Not a program per se.
All right. It's more of a slogan. And so can you talk about how this program then works with corner stores, which is in a different department?
Corner stores is going to be considered under the neighborhood business development portion of Great Neighborhoods, the funding envelopes. We've had discussions through Great Neighborhoods leadership team for a year or so in terms of that, and they're preparing to come forward. Mr. Trusenko may be able to provide some detail on that, but it's all part of Great Neighborhoods.
Okay. Would you like to add anything to that, Mr. Trusenko?
No, other than that, we're coordinating closely with Great Neighborhoods, and corner stores is very much part of that program.
Okay. And I suppose the overall confirmation that I think I was looking for and I got, just to ask to make sure, is that when a neighborhood goes through renewal, as part of the consultation, we'll discover certain things over and above what's there already in terms of the like-for-like roadway infrastructure and sidewalk infrastructure that then will determine there's a funding envelope based on what those needs are or interests are that we can fund them with, that we can pay for those things with.
Yes, I'll answer that
one. Okay.
Yes, there is that flexibility for the community to identify those projects that would enhance the rehabilitation.
Okay. Thank you. I'm out of time.
Councillor Oshry.
Thank you. Let's talk about the Lewis Farms Rec Center.
Oh, surprise.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, but previous council did a medium-term recreation facility plan, correct?
Correct.
About that? So that was this was included in that?
I think it was even included before then. In the original rec facility master plan, it was identified as one of the quadrant-based facilities over time. But the medium term took it about a few years later and verified that.
And then there was actually some preliminary, like in 2011, some preliminary architectural stuff done.
Yes.
Okay. So if we, what would entail, before construction, we've got to get the design done. So can you talk a little bit
about... Sorry, just a second. I apologize. I should have recognized Julie Wilson's grade 6 class from Johnny Bright School, also joining us here today. Hi, boys and girls. Sorry. I'll give you some extra time. I apologize, Counselor. Thank you. Go ahead. Continue.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, but what would entail the design of this facility like this? Can you give me a quick sort of checkbox? We got to do this.
So there's a few steps, but first step, schematic design, which is an expansion of what you have there, moving into detailed design, getting ready for procurement, and then build. Those are basic steps.
And I just, we made a commitment to you, to council, to reconfirm the program statement, do some updating of that. That's before any of what Mr. Lachlan articulated, that has to take place. We need to verify the program statement through the community consultation process and the needs assessment that we do.
Right, okay. And then you do public engagement, programming, concept, and then you would go into full design. So can you just talk some timelines here? Because some of the community members were talking 6 years, but practically speaking, what, there's a couple of years for the first phase of design, a couple for the second, tendering.
That's correct.
So we're talking, if we started today, how long, and everything went gloriously well and it was all in order, how long would it take?
So I think from the programming perspective or confirmation of the program to schematic design, you're looking at a two-year window. Into detail, you're looking at another two-year window. So it could be construction ready in 4 years. There are some things that need to fall into place in terms of where we build it because the site is not ready for construction yet.
So we've got to assemble the land from the developer, or at least have a commitment that we can do that, correct?
Great.
Correct.
And that adds to that time. What Mr. Lachlan articulated was, if we own the land, if the development's built out enough to support that, so the 6 years is not outside the realm of possibility. The other piece in there is that if we are going to submit it because it has had design, in the next cycle, there's a four-year opportunity in there, and it's not necessarily a guarantee, if even if there is tacit support for it, that it would happen in the first year. So somebody saying 6 years to me is not unrealistic at all.
Okay, and so if we don't get the full design done in this capital four-year cycle, you're going to add 4 years. If we get none of it, if we get part of it, you're going to add a couple more years. So now you're talking over 10.
Yeah, if you don't do detailed design in this cycle, you'll have to do that in the next cycle, and that'll add to the overall timeline. You're right.
And so from the sort of the land acquisition, I guess we just need the assurances that we've got the land, the services, the road. You know, we can sort of, can you do that while you're doing the schematic design phase, as an example?
Just during the schematic design phase, that's not an issue. We can, yeah.
Okay. Do rec centers, so if we have a new rec center, like, on the outskirts of town, like Clearview, does it spur development?
You're probably better asking sustainable development, but we do have a precedent. I was nervous when the shovels went in the ground we did the sod turning for Meadows, because the development out there was slim and thin by comparison to what it is now. Now, I can't make a direct correlation, and I don't think anybody can, that spurred development, but the time we've taken to build that facility, the development has very much increased.
And for every year that it doesn't get built, if we go to build it later, so by my math, it's like a 4% per year cost increase, which would be, like, if it was delayed 4 years, it'd be $30 million, somewhere like that. Is that...
Current escalation we're projecting is 4% per year in construction costs.
So you do the math on a $180 million facility, compounded, you're talking $30 million something.
So, yeah.
Okay.
That's your time. Well, no, you got a little more. You can ask one more question if you want.
I'll go again later. Oh, actually, you know what I'm going to do? Actually, I'm going to put in the motion now. I'm going to put a budget amendment in now.
If you like.
I like.
Go ahead.
Okay, so I'm going to... So I've never done this before, so forgive me.
Go ahead.
All right, so I'm just reading this off, correct? That I wrote it out perfectly. So I'm going to move that the Lewis Farms Rec Center, I put /library full design, and that's the name. The number, I'm added the library design only piece, which is 16-20-0056. Increased up to, I should have asked this question. I know we talked earlier, but it's about, I said increased up to $10.5 million. Would that cover the plan of the design?
That's the entire facility, yeah.
Okay. Up to $10.5 million to fund the full design of the Recreation Center complex with funding from tax-supported debt.
Second. Okay. That can be amended at the time, or there can be an alternate motion put, I suppose. Yeah. And the funding source can also be amended at the time. So, that's the first one that's moved and seconded. So that's parked now until we come back around to debate. Next up is Councillor Henderson.
Yeah, just real quickly while we're on that subject, and we'll have a chance to ask the library tomorrow, but we might as well get you guys here. The idea is to put them both together, right? So there's no point in going ahead and doing one without the other in terms of the design piece.
I think that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, we can't design something on after the fact.
No.
Yeah. Okay, so either the library, if we don't design it in now, it would have to go separate, or so it's, yeah, so we'll need to get a dollar figure for that too, but we can ask the library that tomorrow.
For the design?
For both. Well, yeah, for the design piece. For
the design piece is included in the
Queen Elizabeth. Is the library in there? Okay,
yes.
Good. Great, thanks. Queen Elizabeth Phase 2 park project. Just again, I couldn't really tell, and I didn't have access to what was actually in Phase 2. So I understand that the art park is there, which makes sense, but in terms of the connectivity pieces, what's actually in that? Is it the connection to the zigzag connection down from the top, for instance, those kind of things?
The connection from the Taqua Bank is in Phase 1 that will happen next year.
Okay, so that's already funded.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Phase 2 has the art park, all the infrastructure,
yeah,
for the art park, the,
yeah,
parking, some additional amenities on that level, and lookouts along the water and Saskatchewan Drive.
Okay, and then how much of any of this is funded out of the Walter Dale Bridge project in terms of redoing those connections? And I noticed some of those trails have already been redone.
Some of it will be out of the bridge. Specific to these projects, there is $500,000 in percent for art money that will be coming in to help purchase art.
Okay, good. And then the sort of bigger project, which is the bridge that goes over, which is one of the really big asks that people, that would still be in the future, yes?
That's correct.
Yeah, because that's a safety concern I know that has been raised really early on. Okay. Yeah, no, that was Weston. You already asked those questions. I'm related to the library question. On the Africa Center, again, we already have approved money for the go ahead of the library there. That's already pre-approved. So how does that fit for that site, right? And is there any intention of putting any of that together? Are we out of sync here? Because really just putting the design piece in right now and being 4 years away when we already have an approved project that's already underway with the library seems to me we're a little bit out of sync. So how does that work?
Well, you reflected it accurately. We are out of sync, and as a result, the library will proceed on the southeast corner of the site.
Okay.
We're not far enough along with the program for the Africa Center to stall or slow that project down.
So we're not anticipating we would never necessarily put those two. Was it ever anticipated we might put the two buildings together?
We had an early conversation about that, but the library is in a much different place.
Well, obviously a high priority. I mean, right. it was a priority out of last year's budget, so I understand that they can't wait. If we could speed this up, is it too late to put them together?
I don't believe so. But what we would ensure, irrespective, is some coordinated park design and coordinated traffic patterns and make sure that two different facilities can complement each other.
Right. Okay. On the Dermot District Park renewal, and I've seen the plans, so I understand the complexity of this question, but I want to make sure it's just really understand with you, because there's in some ways three pieces in play there. One is the park renewal, which is what you're recommending for funding. There's also, I think if I understand your answer to my written question, there's some money to do some upkeep on the Bonnie Doon pool, but nothing to actually rethink it in terms of the larger piece there, and then there's nothing in here about what the school board wants us to do, which is get the Twin Arenas going. And I ask that in part, I know the school board has concerns about the Twin Arenas, but I know for the community, getting some fitness centers into the pool and getting upgrades there was even more important to them. In actual fact, the arenas weren't that important. So again, a kind of sequencing question about how we see all this stuff playing out. I think, to be fair to the school board and to pass that question on, their ability to retrofit that school and keep it going, I think I understand, is dependent on us trying to find a way to get going on the arenas, which we had money in for and have taken out.
We did. We had money in and we took it out for a greater priority that we brought back for review.
Well, and we never had all the money, which is also
part of
it.
We didn't. The difficulty with the arena project is the ability to find a partner. And the school's a partner, but they're not a funded partner.
Okay, well,
so I understand where they're coming from, but we're not there with the arena, and you're right.
I'm more concerned about the pool piece and at what point we can get that happening and on the table, given that we're now committing to the park. We're going to do a slight upgrade to the – we're not going to do any upgrade to the pool. We're just going to go in and do maintenance, and it's part of one of the larger packages as far as I can see. But the kind of thinking which was about maybe putting some more amenities into there is not on the table right now. So when does that happen, and at what point does it make sense to do the renewal piece without doing the growth piece?
So I'll speak to the renewal piece. It's in our inventory in terms of we need to do renewal on that pool to ensure that it can continue to operate in an effective manner in terms of the other pieces. I think it's a project that we've identified is an important project, but it didn't make the cut this year, unfortunately.
Yeah. And you raise a bigger, broader question. Renewal on its own is a priority in terms of keeping infrastructure whole. But when you renew and you don't refresh, it affects usage, particularly if it's a dramatic non-refresh. And Bonnie Dunes, I mean, I was in high school when it was built.
And at what point does it cost us more money not to do them both at the same time, I guess, is the question.
Well, agreed. But on the other hand, I mean, that's a philosophical question that I think when Ms. Rosen presented the philosophy.
Councillor, we're way over time here, and you just asked a supplemental, and you're already
cheating. Yeah. I'll come back and ask more questions later.
That's okay. We're just going to take it out of a Ward 8 project.
I had the 20 seconds from earlier that I didn't use.
And now they have been more than exhausted, along with my patience. No, I'm kidding. It's all good. Councillor Loken.
He gets 4 minutes next time, that's all. Chief Block, you have, there's a number of requests coming forward in terms of fire infrastructure. Obviously, Windermere and Pilot Sound crucial to the growth of the city, response times, that sort of thing. Has been a fair bit of discussion about Station 21 last term, probably term before that, maybe even the term before that. So, how imperative is Station 21 at this time?
Councillor, we view it with high priority. This is a forward-looking plan, I believe. Our ability to respond on the river in a timely fashion causes me concern. Certainly with the densification downtown and the increased call volumes downtown, our rescue response in the downtown core is a concern as well, and so when Rescue 1 is unavailable to respond, resources are drawn from the outside, and that not only creates an extended response time, it removes those rescues from their primary area of coverage. So the Rossdale Rescue would help out tremendously.
Okay, so it's not just for the river, it's for responding to calls in the downtown core as well.
Correct.
Okay. And there's been extensive community consultation, conversations, all kinds of
extensive
about this. So I hope there isn't any questions that come about that, because I think those have been answered, but I can't control all the questions coming from up here. So, okay, thanks. A couple items that aren't funded in this budget, which I need to touch on. I'm hearing from my constituents about the Londonderry sports fields, and you've been out in the ward a few times now with picture shows, I'll call them storyboards, discussion. People are very excited about it, but it's not funded in this particular round. Do we have any idea at this point, and also with the Terwilliger Heights turf as well, artificial turf, do we have any idea at this point what design costs would be for those two projects moving forward?
Okay, so Londonderry would be about $1.5 million, and Terwilliger Heights would be about $700,000.
Okay. So what is the projected timeline on the Londonderry sports fields? Because it's actually something that not only benefits Ward 3, but it also benefits Wards 4 and 7, and it's a fairly busy part of the city. So what kind of timeline are we putting on that, seeing as we don't have anything at this point, at least for design, at least design in this budget?
If it's not funded in this cycle, fundamentally, then it goes back into the priority process to be ranked against other priorities 4 or 5 years from now, so we can't give you a definitive answer.
So if it doesn't go in this cycle, at least in the design phase, then we're probably looking at least a 10-year time period here. Is that accurate?
No.
Probably not 10. If it was funded in the next cycle, we would be able to begin work in 5 or 6 years.
Okay. Thank you.
Next up is Councillor Anderson.
I have a motion, but I'll wait until we've had a round of questions, but I have passed it along to the rest of council. And Mr. Latta, you were a great help in putting this together, so it made the most sense. We do have verbally committed partners for this project financially.
Can you tell us what project you're talking about?
Oh, I'm sorry, Coronation Community Rec Center, the Velodrome.
I think Mr. Jevney can speak
sure.
to the partners.
Yeah.
Yes, the partners committed $20 million, $4 million cash of their own funding, and then raising the balance with the other orders of government.
And now to Mr. Latta. The motion was written so that the use of tax-supported debt would be pushed into another budget cycle, but it would be contingent upon the partnership funding actually occurring, so that the dates that are talked about, finish design in 17, begin construction with the first year of cash flow in 18, if the partners are still working on their commitments, there's nothing sacred about starting in 17 and going into the ground in 18. Could that be flexible and finish the design in 18 and go into the ground in 19?
So the short answer is yes, Councillor, but we would need to adjust the cost for inflation if it was.
Of course, it only makes sense. But that is, I mean, just because it's included in a motion doesn't mean that it's fixed, and if the dates are not achieved, the project's dead in the water. We can be flexible on that.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next up, Councillor Knack.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Fort Edmonton Park first. So I had the response to the written question, and if correct me if I'm wrong, but we just said you're looking at about a 4% increase every year, correct?
Yes.
So ballpark to me says, yeah, if we're looking at around that 50 to 55 million, we should. The reason you're at 76 right now is because of the or 70.7 is because of the contingency built into that, correct?
And escalation.
Escalation, contingency, and I'm not sure exactly where the $50 million came from. The profile.
That was Edmonton management. So I get it because I'm trying to find, I'm looking at the unfunded $10 million, and I'm looking at this that's grown $20 million since I first started, and recognizing I hear that, you know, they might have had different studies than you, I'm trying to see if there's a way we can decrease this profile to fund the other one, and if we feel confident enough in our ability to be able to bring in that budget by decreasing this by the amount that they have.
And before Mr. Lockham gets into that, they are going to be here as a partner project.
Yes.
So
yeah.
We can talk about this to a certain point, and then you're going to wish they were there.
Yeah, I know. I wanted to throw it out right now first and get some preliminary thoughts. And
so just to rephrase, are we comfortable reducing this budget to do the scope that we've identified? The answer would be no.
Yeah, that's probably fair. Okay. Well, then we'll wait till Fort Edmonton comes to chat a little bit more about that. Maybe one quick question on the conversation about the Lewis Farms Rec Center with library, and again, this might be a question for the library as well, but they're planning on that. This is that their library for Lewis Farms was one of their higher priorities, so they were likely going to do some work on it regardless of whether or not we start work here, correct? No? Oh, seen shaking head from Councillor Anderson.
Councillor Knack, it's not funded in the capital plan for any piece of the West End Library, so
okay.
You can clarify with libraries.
No, that's fine. That's good.
I think the commitment was they'd like to be partnered with us if the project progressed.
Okay. Wanted to ask a little bit more about, where is that, page 72. Sorry, let me just look back. So the question we had asked with regards to the safety and security. The question I'd asked is if you could provide an update on where we had lost time incidents as well as reported security incidents. And the intent of this profile was to help reduce those. And I guess I'm looking at what's happened in the last 3 years. And we saw a decrease in 2013 for lost time incidents. We're back up to 34. And likely, if we're going to factor in the rest of the year, date will probably be ahead of 2012. 2012-2013 for security incidents increase. So I guess I'm trying to figure out why this investment of $6 million is going to help us decrease when we spent, when we did 60 projects and that didn't help us decrease.
Mr. Smith will respond to that.
Counselor, the data that we use for our rec facilities encompasses a wide range of types of incidences, everything from abusive patrons to vandalism to OH&S issues. And I don't have the data in front of me here, but we have experience when you look at all kinds of incidences, security and risk. I think it's increased from about 1,100 to about 1,500 branch-wide, if you will. So we've seen an escalation, and anecdotally from our staff, there certainly is a growing concern when we talk to our staff on the front lines.
You know, I want to make sure we support the staff with that. I guess I'm concerned that if we just did 60 projects over the last 3 years to help decrease, and in fact we haven't seen a decrease, I guess I'm a little concerned that throwing another $6 million to try and help decrease, how are we going to measure that then?
I think we're only going to start to measure that. I think what's important in the undertone of your question is the fact that we don't have a good baseline from way back that says the amount we invest is directly related to increase or decrease. So you are looking back at a year or two, and I don't know if that's we can draw conclusions for or against this profile. We believe that the incidents are increasing. The reporting of incidents might be decreasing or increasing because that factors into it as well. We do believe, and we've had conversations with security and with police, that this has been an escalating problem in any number of our facilities. So that's the basis of this. It's not as performance measurement based as you might have expected over a longer period of time.
And just one more quick additional point, Counselor. We do have a service package on the operating side as well.
Yes. I'm out of time already, so thank you.
Just before we move on, I will welcome Robin Drews and Rachel Beach's grade 6 class from Johnny Bright School in Ward 9. Welcome to our capital budget deliberations. Your counselor is Councilor Anderson, who is busily preparing amendments to the infrastructure budget. So, things that will benefit you and also potentially cost you money. You might be paying taxes when we're paying for some of these things. Anyway, so
great thought.
Well, some of these things have, you know, there's the whole intergenerational equity thing.
Maybe take time.
Next up is Councilor Nickel.
Thank you very much. Ms. Rosen, I just can't, not off the top of my head, well, how much money do we have left in the Stadium Reserve Fund? What's left in that fund?
In the which fund?
Stadium Reserve Fund. Because the CM21-2000 says the composite is requesting $200,000 per year from the Stadium Reserve Fund.
So I would have to ask what the balance in that fund is?
Mr. Smith might have a sense.
Yeah. I'll take the middle square. Or X. Okay, while you're looking that up, I'm going to keep going. You can come back to me on that.
Well, Councilor, I don't have the...
We'll get to the balance.
Yeah, because just out of curiosity, the size, health of that fund, and if that ask is
we'll get that information though.
Appropriate. I'm going to start off with agreeing with Councillor Knack with regards to the capital profile for the Fort Edmonton Park. At this stage, what we have is a preliminary risk analysis that's been completed. Correct.
We've got a bit more than that. We've got some condition assessments on some of the utilities we've replaced as well.
Okay. And with regards to, I'm just looking over the staging of this project, you're saying is going to be over what period of time again?
It would bridge the two capital budget cycles.
So it'll be over an 8-year period
and not 8 years of construction, but just the way it's positioned in this budget cycle, that it would expand into the next budget cycle.
But you're asking us to put aside $70 million for 8 years. Is that essentially what I'm hearing?
Over an 8-year period, of which we need for construction. It's not an 8-year construction project.
Okay, but so how does, then Ms. Rosen, how does that get worked into the books? Is it that we're just going to take chunks of it and at the end it will be something, you know? I'm worried about scope creep and, but you know what I mean, and budget creep, that since it's a long-term project?
So we do have actually controls in place to guard against scope creep.
Yeah.
And we do reporting back to you on a quarterly basis on all active capital projects that are of this size to say this is how they're progressing.
Okay, because that is one of your largest asks here. And it's they're even asking for more, as we know. And so it gets it does get to be a bit of a concern for me. Now, one of the other questions I had is that thank you to all of you in the administration. Thank you for answering all my questions that I put out to you as best to your ability. I know I put a lot of questions out there, but some of them were very helpful. And I want to talk a little bit about trails, walkways, and the hectares of open space open to the public in terms of the actual number that we have available and what's going forward. So, for example, in 2013, we have 6,092 hectares of open space. In 2014, we have 6,092. Given that we're having 30,000 people a year moving to the city, in terms of park and parkland acquisition and all that, where's the money going to come from, which profile, because it looks flatlined to me, right? And the same sort of same argument goes with maintain our trail system, 274 kilometers. It looks flat.
Sustainable development has the parks acquisition questions, so I'm not trying to put you off, but I'm not sure we have an answer for you on that.
But don't you have to prioritize and know that there's an appropriate number that needs, that your department has a feeling around that we should be here?
Yeah, our department would do the maintenance on those and could respond to those in likely operating budget questions.
Okay, so we'll leave that. Well, but you see, this is where it gets confusing, because we have to acquire the property, Ms. Rosen, right? So is that a capital or is that an operating question?
So I think that what Ms. Cochran is saying is that you could actually direct those questions to sustainable development when they're down here.
Okay, we will go to sustainable development. And with my last 32 seconds here, and I will need another round, it's about the South Haven Cemetery Service Building and Road, $6.3 million. The fundamental question is, do we still need to be in the cemetery business?
I think we do, that question, but you raise a question that has been raised over the years, and it has been asked and answered, and it's probably timely every number of years. But fundamentally, the citizens in the province expect that there to be a public cemetery alternative. We're not in a huge growth mode. We don't try to compete. We try to watch our expenditures and our revenues to be kind of mid-market. We're not trying to compete, but the expectation for a public service in this regard has been validated numerous times.
And one additional point, Councillor, on the cemetery capital piece is that our business model for cemeteries is such that the revenues we make at cemeteries through our perpetual care fund covers the cost of that capital investment.
It's a cost recovery.
Correct.
Yeah. No tax dollars going.
But this was previously approved under perpetual care.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Councillor Katarina.
Thank you. Ms. Cochran, the Green Check program, it's unfunded. Can you just go briefly through what would be required to maintain that program for the 20 years?
Councillor, Green Check's operating.
Oh. Can you tell me where I can find it? Because I can't find this page.
It won't be in that binder, Councillor Catalina.
It'll be in here.
Won't be in that one. I'll get it for you.
Okay, please.
Yep. But I think it's 107,000.
107.
To bring it back to the level Councillor Nickel was discussing at committee. Actually, we just sent it out because it required an addendum service package to the operator. I think we sent it to all of you, but I'll get it for you again.
Yeah, it was circulated by email, but then I think we'll have to actually add it to the book when we come to the operating budget.
Okay.
Yes, Mayor, we will be providing you with the report for the
just like we added profiles to the capital book, we'll add some emergent stuff to the operating book when we get to it.
All right. That's fine. That's all I need to know for right now.
Okay. Councillor Sohi.
Well, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Chief, you must be happy.
Well, he is.
No, don't have to answer that. I know you're happy. You're smiling. On the Ivor Dent, I need some information. I know the folks were supposed to come and make a presentation to the to council on the public hearing, where they weren't able to make it. What is missing? What is needed for Ivor Dent Park site for the to complete it?
So the profile that's in the package is unfunded. It was to complete
but
some
the detail,
of
the
parking lots and some of the internal roads.
But there's no profile in the budget, just a mention of it. So that's what I need. If you could send it to me, unless I'm missing, if I didn't see it here.
We'll get it to you and we'll get it to all of council.
Because what I'm interested in doing, I know we need more information on it. There's some partnership money that could be leveraged, or they cannot use the facility properly. So what I need information, I'm not going to move anything related to Ivor Dent in this part of this deliberation, but I would like to make a subsequent motion so we can gather more information on it, and that report will come to community services for further discussion. Maybe then we can talk about it in a supplemental capital budget process later.
Would
that make sense, Ms. Rosen?
Absolutely.
Because I don't have the information, so if I don't have the information, then I'm pretty sure the other council members don't have the information as well, right? So.
And if it's not something that's so pressing that you need it approved at this time, it can have information come forward and then fit into a supplemental process.
Okay, good. On the rec center in the West End, the mere fact that we're talking about in public and we haven't purchased the land yet, right? The cost of the land will probably gone up.
Well, the cost of the land is what it is. You're right, and nothing's getting any cheaper. But it's likely to be, not that it doesn't count, but it's likely to be MR.
Yeah, but the additional land that you need to buy.
So for the nomination of the district site, Councillor Sohi, I think that we're at a position where if you actually want to be serious about buying land when it's at its least cost possible, you have to go forward sooner rather than later. And so one does have to at some point in time identify what land and proceed with purchasing, and you can only do that if you actually have a budget. And so we do get caught in this dilemma.
I understand that. Yeah. I perfectly understand. But now if this passes, right, and that will give you indication, then you can proceed. It's up now, but you, instead of paying more and more as the land is serviced, then maybe making some choices, purchasing land early so to reduce some of the cost.
And so if you're referring to Councillor Oshry's motion, I do believe that all he moved at this point in time was design.
I know it's only design.
And so one of the questions that you're going to have when you discuss his motion is, what does that mean in terms of approval of the full project, and what does that mean in terms of the gating for the land purchase?
Okay.
And Mr. Holm has more detail on the land. On the land issue,
I don't need any amounts to be mentioned in public, right? So you will have that money, but you can talk about that in your sessions. I think this is a problem. I think transparency is important, but sometimes transparency does cost us money.
I don't disagree.
Yeah. Just want a clarification on your comment on the Lewis McKinney waterfront development. You said if the money is taken out, then when comes the time to build it, money's there.
So I actually believe that we clarified that it was the money that has already been taken out. And if I do recall, when we had the discussion during supplementary capital budget adjustment, we did indicate that at the appropriate time that money would come back for consideration.
Is that the norm for other projects?
Yes, it is.
When you take money out, you put money in?
For park projects in particular.
Because I have a project in mind that I'm going to discuss more. Similar thing happened. Money was taken out, was never put back in.
And so then what happens is it becomes, of course, as with all capital projects, council's decision as to what the priority is when administration raises it again.
Yep. Thank you.
Councillor Essinger.
Thank you, and I'd like to talk about the African Center. It's page 83A as well. My understanding is we've purchased the land, and if there's a building for the African Center, it would be part of a plaza. They won't be attached, but it'll be could be a design altogether. Is that my?
Yes.
Is that correct? So even though we've got the library, we could still add on to the site.
Yeah, I was trying to sort of articulate that when I said the connections from a parks point of view, but plaza is a good word, yeah.
Okay. And this is really just the design of it. That's all we're looking at in this profile.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. This will be for the chief. If you could just help me understand the Emergency Operations Center. I guess I just need some more information. It looks like we're looking at that based on a Calgary model. And did the City of Calgary fully fund that?
Yeah, I think Mr. Laughlin might be better positioned to answer that.
Okay. Just in terms of how did they fund it? It was funded by the City of Calgary, I believe, but after build, I believe there was discussion about additional partnership to accommodate provincial, and I think I'd sort of have to confirm that for sure and get back to you, but I believe that's the case.
Okay, and this is looking at the same site as the Northwest Police Campus, and this proposal includes the purchase of the land. Who owns the land now?
City of Edmonton.
So we have the land?
We do.
Land Enterprise.
Okay. So we don't have a risk of it going somewhere else.
So we do, Councillor Esslinger, from a perspective of there is an expectation that Land Enterprise, once they've actually sunk costs into servicing, that they actually market the land within a timely basis. In the absence of an indication from council that they would like the land to be held for this future project, in the normal course of business, they would go ahead and market that land. I'm not saying that in order to give that indication, you have to approve this project, but one would have to know that you think that it's a reasonable course of action so that we could hold off on marketing the land from a Land Enterprise perspective.
Okay. I'm just trying to understand the urgency of this project at this time.
So from an operations perspective, you know, I can only speak for fire rescue services, but our system is in need of replacement. Certainly with the arena district developing the way it is, the sooner the better.
Okay. All right, that's all my questions for now. Thanks.
Deputy Mayor Esslinger, could you take the chair?
Yes, I will.
Sorry, Chief, can you elaborate on the impact of the arena district on is that create the need for a new EOC, or does it make it harder to continue to operate out of the existing one, which is nearby?
Yeah, so both. So it would be viewed as a risk with the Office of Emergency Management and the EOC. The notion, best practices, is to have a facility like that away from large crowds that are gathering.
Gotcha. Well, if we make a cup run, we'll just have to steer everybody in a different direction. So, I'm not going to say it. on that, though, there were some discussions, and I asked a written question about this in the book.
there were some discussions with the province because they're interested in building a provincial EOC.
There have been some preliminary discussions with the province, but at this, at the time of submission of this, we could not ascertain confirmation from the province of any go-ahead or any funding commitment.
And there's the suggestion in the written answer that it would be ideal to have the new one up and running to be able to help manage Commonwealth Games if we secure that for 2022, and that the existing one would actually be maintained as a backup as well as a control center for some of the specific games related security. That's just, did I understand that correctly?
Yes, you understood that correctly.
Okay, so if it was understood that this was a priority, but maybe we weren't ready to go ahead with it immediately because there was value in having a conversation with the province over the next year or two, I understand 4 years out starts to create challenges against some of those other timelines, but I'm not sure we should send the signal that we're ready to build this on our own and just go off on our own and do this, because I think there's co-location of dispatch that was, there's some discussion about working with the RCMP on that as well, I think.
Yes.
And then the idea of a dual control center. I mean, this seems to me to be a big city charter opportunity to partner. You know, they're going to build a $60 million control center. We're going to build a $60 million control center. Maybe we should go a little further with them for a conversation and see if we can either build something better for the same money or build something adequate to both of our purposes for less money. You know, that old one taxpayer thing.
Yep, understand completely.
I'm assuming that's a don't you think. But
yes.
So, okay.
Understand completely. As a oversight person with this, as someone who lives with the operating requirements, that's not a great space. It's not working real well. I don't want to pretend that this isn't urgent. It is urgent, but I understand exactly where you're coming from, and we'll respond appropriately no matter however you decide.
Okay. Well, I'm going to bring a motion to largely unfund that but leave some money to keep doing design work and then pursue that with the province and see what we can come to. And then when we have a plan, I would suggest come back to a supplemental. So I'm not sure we're there yet on that project. And we can work to hold the land as necessary as well. A question about the Kichi ASCII. That's $8 million to do all the phases. We had some representatives in from the partners who are involved in stewarding that space as leasehold.
That's correct.
Tenants essentially. They agreed that, you know, really it's a phased project. They think there's potential to bring partners in for future phases if we can get the first piece moving. What's the phase one cost?
Phase one is just around $2 million. Mr. Mayor, it would include completion of demolition and renaturalization of the site and get the site fully ready to support their programming aspirations for spiritual, cultural kinds of events.
Okay. And then to the chief, I don't know if you heard, we had folks from the Rossdale Community League present in the public hearing, Mrs. Bunting and Mr. Shelley, who described a higher operating cost for the station on the basis of lower call volume, and they were talking about significant cost, and the $4 million to fix up the station and get a station seems like a pretty good deal. The $3 million a year to staff it against what they suggested would be extremely low call volume did give me pause, but I wanted to give you the opportunity to qualify or respond to those suggestions from those members of the public.
Yeah, and certainly I appreciate that. So the river rescues are trending upward. You couple that with the backup rescue plan for downtown. Those calls are going up an awful lot where Rescue 1 is not available. So looking forward, this is about planning for down the road. It will be a couple of years before that station would open up. I would also throw out the aspect that there will be some specialty equipment there, so a command vehicle, foam truck, that kind of thing, that is used upwards of 24 to 30 times a year, and having those specialty units housed centrally is certainly an asset.
But I think your point about the capital cost being less than usual because of what's already down there is an important one. And this is the capital piece. And then the operating cost as the chief outlined.
Okay, I got a supplemental on that, but I'm out of time, so I will take the chair back. And actually, before I do take the chair back, I will move a second round of questions.
Sorry.
So, do we need to call a question?
Yep.
Please vote.
I think Councillor McKean was the seconder there, or no, we got Councillor Nicol on the board.
And display the vote. That's carried.
Okay, I will take back the chair, and we will start round two with Councillor Henderson.
Thanks. Just really quickly on the Africa Center, I mean, there is an Africa Center. We have, they're in the existing school building right now, but that building is beyond in rough shape, is my understanding. There's half of it we can't even use anymore. So what kind of time do we have before they're in real trouble in the existing building?
The part that they're in is not projected to be not usable for the foreseeable future.
Okay.
The problem is the condition isn't ideal at all.
No.
And it's not big enough for the plan.
And I'm just trying to, because we've had this project on the books for a long time. We've spent the money on the land in part for it with this anticipation. We debated where to put them. So if we don't go ahead at least with the design stuff at this point, then we're way down the road, correct? And I'm guessing we will start getting into trouble with the existing building.
I think that's fair.
Right? So, I mean, they can't hold on in there. We either have to put renewal money in at some point, which probably doesn't make sense, or we got to get on with the new building.
Well, it would be really bad to put renewal in part of a building when you know the rest of the building is not salvageable.
And just for fun, so I can dream, but I realized I didn't have the numbers, but I wouldn't mind. Do we have the numbers for the Bonneville and Leisure Center? I have, in the written question, I got back the number, but I don't actually know what the dollar figure is for that. But, so it's 1521-4283.
It's about almost $19 million.
Okay. All right. So I can dream. Someday. Rolling Miles, and I should know the answer to this, but I mean, there's a lot of stuff in there, right? Because we've got the arena, we've got the pool, we've got a couple of park pieces, because there's the park piece at the ESCLs in the middle of the tennis courts. How much of that are we talking about in this project?
So this will cover the three pieces. The athletic facilities have been done, the track and the field.
That's
and
what I thought.
It's the balance of the park where the ESCL is and the two ball diamonds in front of the arena.
But it's just the green space at this point. It's leaving the two other facilities we have out of the picture at this point?
Yes.
Okay. Louise McKinney, we asked the question on. There it is. On the building facility rehabilitation profile on page 148, we have targets in terms of our rehabilitation and percentages that we should be putting in, and I know we ask this question regularly, but there was nothing in here that told me what this does in terms of whether we're staying, keeping up or falling behind or how we're doing on our rehab targets.
It's a combination of capital and operating, and our target is between 2% and 4%. Between the two of them, we're at about, if everything gets approved as it is, 1.8%.
So we're still low.
We're
falling behind.
But this is a significant...
Okay. Is this an improvement on what we've been doing?
Yes.
All right. So we're getting closer to not falling behind.
Yes.
Okay. And Chief, one of the things to follow up on the mayor's questions, I am absolutely prepared to support that if we're going to do river rescue, it makes sense to do it in Rossdale. I mean, it's not about that question for me. But I must say I was perplexed, given all the things we need in terms of fire, why that one was showing up as such a high priority. That's the bits that puzzle me, and it's not about being opposed to the idea of doing it. It's just why now in a particularly tight budget period when I think, you know, clearly we're still short of new fire stations in new areas. And I'll say, ironically as well, when we have a budget package in here which was about putting railings on the high-level bridge that isn't funded, which might be just as effective at the river rescue piece. So I'm just puzzled, and I wouldn't mind hearing why it's showing up so high on the priority when my understanding was we're still short of some of our growth stuff.
So, Councillor Henderson, if you don't mind, I'll start that question, and Chief Locke can certainly provide supplementary. When we looked at the corporate criteria, this particular project did score quite high because of its geographic area, the fact that it does potentially benefit the downtown. Safety and risk did pose a very high component of the prioritization criteria, so it did score quite well on many of the elements, and it moved its way above the line. And certainly there was a bit of a check-in as well with senior leadership to make sure it did make sense, and I would ask Chief Block if there's anything more he can sort of talk about from an operational perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. The River Valley is something that we all love, and we're encouraging people to use more and more. There are another 8 boat launches, so the access is going to increase. The densification of our city is increasing. So I think it's absolutely true that more people will be on the river. And quite frankly, right now, our response and deployment is, it's a concern. One of the other aspects here that's a huge concern is currently we deploy resources from our Strathcona Station 6, Mill Creek Station 6. That has one of our 9 ladders and a pump, of course. Their primary service area is the university and Old Strathcona. That's a busy station. It's nearly 4,000 calls a year. And so to be effective on the river, you need to train on it, and quite frankly, they're unable to train with the frequency that I would like to see because it pulls them away from their primary purpose. So that's a consideration, a huge consideration as well.
I'm out of time again. Thanks.
Councillor Oshry.
Okay, just a couple more questions on the recs. No, I'm not going to ask any more. Chief, I don't know if it's Chief, I don't know who should ask this, but just following up on the fire station. When we don't have a plan for West Rossdale, how can we, why would we look at doing something with the fire station down there when we don't even know what we're going to be building, if we're going to be building high rises, low rises, or nothing at the on the west side of Rossdale?
Yeah. Well, the notion of river rescue is predicated on having a facility at River's Edge.
I'm not talking about the river rescue part, I'm talking about the fact that it's to service the rest of the neighborhood as well.
I think it's taking advantage of the infrastructure perhaps that's there. It's strategically well located to serve a dual purpose.
Okay. All right, just changing topics. The River Valley Park renewal, it was $17 million, I think, is that right? I don't think so. So that's new money, right? Like we've never... Can you just explain what we've done in the past?
That's right. We've tried to fund some of these projects often on a one-time basis when we come back to council. This is to deal with trail erosions, any slump slides that impact the parks.
So this isn't moving money from somewhere else?
This is money we've typically had to find as things happened over the time. So this is the plan and budget for those.
We've never had a lump sum planned ahead of time. We've kind of reacted to when we needed it.
That's right. We did have some funding in parks conservation that would deal with the small issues, but the larger ones we came back on seeking one-time funding.
And so when and we were actually not formally directed, but in consultation in council previously, we were asked to consider developing a program for this as opposed to our approach to cobbling money or robbing Peter to pay Paul.
Okay. Can I ask about the Lescue Park? So this is the park that's the new Twilliger Footbridge feeds into?
That's correct.
So we're now going to have the new bridge done and the Fort Edmonton Bridge. This is to connect the two, correct? The piece of land that's in between the two.
Piece of land between the two.
So if we don't do this master plan for this, what do we have? What do we have to connect the trail system?
The River Valley Alliance, as part of the project, will put a paved trail that will connect the two footbridges, but that's all there will be. There's currently no plan for the park, so this will allow us to get ahead of it a little bit and put a plan in place on how we want to see the park develop.
Okay, so if we don't fund this, because it's unfunded right now, then we've got a path between the two bridges and then a huge piece of land that we have no idea what to do with.
That's correct.
And so the options, so we don't know whether we want to use that for a formal park or a nature reserve or...
Yeah, the plan would formalize that.
Okay. And so, sorry, without that, it's just the a path, right?
That's correct.
The river, sorry, the dispatch system of the radio with the province, are they behind, are they, where are they at with this? I'm not sure if Councillor Walters asked something to the, but where are they with this? I mean, I've heard that they're kind of behind on their plans and how this all ties together.
So I'm speculating we're talking about the AFRAX interoperability piece. These are two different projects. So, yeah, well, provincially, we're within, or the province is within 2 years of becoming operational in the capital region.
Is that accurate? I don't know. I don't know if you can answer that. Are there any concerns from your perspective, let me put it that way, that that's going to be delayed?
You know, I actually sit on the governance committee of that group, and we've come a long way with the project. I believe that's doable. So June of 16 would be the stated start date in the capital region.
And if this doesn't get funded, what happens?
So
hypothetically.
So again, we're talking apples and oranges here a little bit. So the AFRAX project and the co-located dispatch are not dependent upon one another.
Okay. All right. I'll have to get some more. I'll do that offline. That's okay. Okay. I think that's it. Thank you.
Okay. Councillor McKean.
Thank you. Chief Block, how much time, response time, would you save on a river rescue when you're in Rossdale versus where you're at now?
So I would say 10 to 15 minutes.
10 to 15 minutes?
Yeah.
What I was surprised at by written questions was that the highest percentage, I thought you were going onto the river for other issues, but in fact you're doing a lot of rescues, according to the answer I got. Can you give a couple of examples of recent rescues you've had to do on that river? Like, are they boating things? Are they swimming things? What's going on that you're...
So, all of the above. Many people tend to like to raft down the river and experience problems. Certainly in the spring and fall, you have folks on the ice that experience problems. Certainly, you know, the suicide part of this, suicide attempts are a rule as well. I didn't point out in the previous response that providing safety for emergency workers is a significant consideration here too. You know, that 10 to 12 minute delays everybody. So,
right.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether to ask you, Ms. Cochran, but I suspect it's a long-term goal for the city to get greater recreation use on the river.
I think that's an important point. As the chief said, there's more and more spontaneous use, and I think through River Valley Alliance and some of the parks planning work, and certainly some of the political direction, the river is seen more as responsible activity, but not the non-activity that we've seen in years gone by. So there is more use being both encouraged and taken advantage of.
See more and more every year, for sure.
Yeah.
The questions that came out from the other day from our public hearing, environmental remediation, I guess, asbestos and other issues, there's some skepticism that building can be brought up to grade with the budget you have, and also with some landscaping that the community feels it is owed or due or part of this project. Can you comment?
So from a facility perspective, yes, we feel it can be rehabilitated facility to serve the purpose. From the landscaping perspective, Mr. Brennis and I were discussing this earlier, there is actually funding identified to do some additional landscaping on the basis of this being a committed project.
Yeah, we held the small amount that's designated for that, and that's not part of the capital profile.
Yeah, because the community, or there's people in that community who feel strongly that there was a commitment made that it would not just be reopened, but that there would be some work done around it to make it fit with the community, look good. And you're saying that's in there?
And it was, sorry, Ms. Cook, it was set aside and it was conditional on reactivation of this site.
Okay. Chief Block, as far as commitments, the other commitment that they feel is unfulfilled is some sort of promise or good neighbor agreement vis-a-vis noise from I suppose, firefighters traveling to and from, but also sirens. Can you comment?
Absolutely, and we've had lengthy conversations with the community about this. And certainly when it comes to the Highway Traffic Act, if we're responding and it's necessary to break the speed limit or go through a stop sign, sirens and lights are part of the Highway Traffic Act. So there's no way of avoiding that. Certainly at shift change, we'll talk to our crews. Councillor, we endeavor to be a good neighbor in whatever community we're a part of.
But if you're moving to back up a fire rescue that's left at downtown station, you don't have to go lights and sirens, do you? That would be truly for an emergency response.
We never go lights and sirens unless it's an emergency.
Right. Okay. Yeah. But in the community, as soon as you leave the station, it's lights and sirens.
If we're going to break the rules of the road, yes.
Right. Okay. Okay. Thank you very much.
Councillor Loken?
I just have two amendments. First one is to add capital profile London Dairy Artificial Turf and Park Renewal, number 15-285822, increased by $1.5 million to fund design with funds to come from allocated council consideration.
Second.
Right. You mean the funds, the $16 million that's available?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And so, Councillor Nichols,
I'm told
seconded
that's the
that
official
one.
Name.
Councillor Anderson. Ryan. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Second one, along the same lines, add capital profile Terwilliger artificial Terwilliger Heights artificial turf, number 15-285821, and increased by $700,000 to fund design, same fund unallocated for council consideration.
Seconded by Councillor Anderson again. Okay.
Yeah, that's it. Thanks.
Okay. If I'm just going to ask if councillors have worked out a seconder, then we'll give that courtesy. But if they haven't found a seconder, then we'll toss it open to whomever. So we'll just, if it's been previously worked out, we'll go with that as a courtesy. And if there is no seconder, it doesn't get debated. That has happened, I think, once, to make a point. So it does save time. You do have that mechanism, but generally, as a courtesy, all motions are seconded. So that's all you got, Councillor. Next up, then, is Councillor Anderson.
Thank you. An addition amendment, Anderson, seconded by Esslinger, page 58, capital profile Coronation Community Rec Center 15215801, added with the following amendments: A, design completion in 2017 for $1.45 million funded by the Velodrome Triathlon Association.
So partner funding.
B, construction to take place between 2018 and 2020 with funding from partners and the balance from tax-supported debt, and the source of funding is $20 million partner funding and balance from tax-supported debt. Oh, and Mr. Mayor.
So that's moved and seconded by Councillor Esslinger, and then that's off into the queue now, and you have a subsequent that you want to...
Yeah, a subsequent right? That, thank you, that I will ask we postpone
yep.
to be debated following this.
Well, make it now, and then because it's kind of contingent and flows from that motion, then we can, what we'll do is I'll suggest we'll postpone it once you've made it. So
thank you. That the administration bring forward for council's consideration a funding agreement with the Velodrome Triathlon Association by the end of 2015 based on the previous or above funding strategy.
So there's no point voting on that until we voted on the motion precedent to it. So if I could get a motion to postpone from Councillor Nichol,
sure.
And seconded by?
Second.
Councillor Knack. So we'll postpone. We do need a seconder for your motion, Councillor Anderson. Councillor?
Second.
Okay. That was the plan, was Esslinger. Okay, so that was moved and seconded. That's now on the floor, and now the motion to postpone comes from Councillor Nichol and seconded by?
Knack.
Councillor Knack. To postpone that until immediately after we have dealt with this motion, and it'll either be votable or irrelevant. depending on where we wind up. So, to postpone the subsequent motion to a time where it makes sense to vote on it, please vote and display the vote. And that is carried. Okay. Thank you for those, Councillor Anderson. Do you have any further questions, or you're good? You're good.
Oh, I'm sorry. I do. I actually do.
Okay. You can use some time for that.
To Mr. Jeff,
we lost the speaker's board there, so unfortunately.
Through Mr. Jevney.
Click back on if you're, I was just going to start your time here, Councillor Anderson. Oh, there it is, it's back. It's back, and
sorry,
I'll start
your
time. Sorry,
we just have to click back on the
Thank you.
In the funded amount for tearing down the stands at J.P. Bull, John Bright Park, and the replacement with a set of stands that has dressing rooms, spotter's box, there is mention of the turf needing replacement, but not until...
I believe it was 2019.
It did go out of this capital circuit.
Yeah, the turf's fine now. It doesn't need to be replaced within this 4 years.
Okay, fine. Thank you very much. And do you have any idea? I'll ask you that question offline. Thank you very much.
Next up is Councillor Nicol.
Thank you very much. Flipping over to page 156, Project Management Information System, PMIS, my question has more to do with tracking the performance of the capital investment and how is that done. IT can be a particular sore spot with regards to productivity. So how does the corporation plan on and in measuring the effectiveness and the efficacy of the system if we put almost $3 million into it?
Councillor, the project management information system has been funded. It's previously funded, and what it is it's a tool that helps us manage these projects to, you mentioned performance measures, to track where we're at with the status of the project, but also allows those that are managing, but those that are affected by the project to gauge the health of the project.
The question becomes, how do I know it's working or not?
I think one of the primary performance measures is our ability, with a capital focus on this system, is that measure of building on time and on budget, but also to provide educated decisions around how we are investing in capital projects.
And I guess this will be a recurring theme that I'm just going to keep tapping on a little bit, because IT, it can be a bit nebulous at times because some of the acronyms
I don't want to appear to be trying to defend this project.
No.
But quite frankly, by comparison to many other municipalities, not nearly as sophisticated as us with the capital profiles we have, we're way behind not having this. And to even be able to give you the kinds of performance measures that you want, to do this in the manual system and in the, with the lack of consistency is of a concern.
All I am saying is I'm wishing for the best, because I am looking for at the system, and I'm hoping that we will get some sort of indication back that it's working, it's improving, and that it's making jobs.
We're right there with you.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, so it needs to demonstrate its value for money. A number of these, though, do come as a consequence, often as audit recommendations.
I'm going to watch that one. Now, going back to, I do accept your argument with regards to the cemetery. Can you give me a size of what, how many square feet this building is going to be, and the scope and scale of the $6.3 million project that we're putting out there?
We'll just dig that up for you.
Okay. As you dig that up, I will flip the next page.
We'll follow with this. Can you tell me?
Councillor Nicol, we don't have the specific square footage. It is a sales and admin office as well as part of the maintenance functions for the cemetery get incorporated into the building. So there's rooms there, staff room, lunchroom, showers, as well as rooms for families when they're visiting the cemetery and the transactions.
Oh, no, I'm familiar with.
So I don't have the square footage.
I was in the stone business for many years, so I'm familiar with the nature of the business. I just want to know what kind of, we're building a Taj Mahal, or we're building something that is reflective of what we need to build.
We will get you the details, the specific details on that.
That would be greatly appreciated. Since, like you're all hearing, it is a tight budget. So
understood.
So the premise on cemeteries is that we ultimately move to a user pay model. So it's not subsidized through the tax base, because people can choose how they want to have their final resting ground. But obviously, different models have different costs.
And on the cemetery side, there are a bit of challenges with regards to the costs because a lot of people are taking cremations over putting themselves in the ground. You know, that model, from a revenue perspective and self-funding perspective, I just know you have to watch. That's all. That's why I'm curing about it.
Councilor Nickel, a couple of things.
It's 27 seconds.
It's previously funded.
Yeah, I know. Sure. Now, going back to page 51, River Valley Trail Park Renewal. This is where I'm getting confused between the $17 million we're throwing in here, and then I'm supposed to talk to sustainable development about park trails. But they're not up, right? This includes establishing new trail connections where warranted and ensuring safe access, which could also talk about purchasing of land and so on, and I'm out of time, but you get the gist of my question.
Just very quickly, sustainable development responsible for park planning, community services responsible for park maintenance and rehabilitation.
Councillor Knack.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. On the one more question on the River Valley Trail and Park Renewal piece. So the answer that I received for the question is that the conditions of the trails and parks are reviewed annually based on condition assessments. And just to get an idea, I'll assume with the trails, are we doing, how do we measure those assessments? What do we do to test that?
We do about 20% of visual assessments of the trails. We do about 20% of the infrastructure each year.
Okay, 20%. And it talks about being prioritized by a steering committee. And I guess I wanted to get a little more detail. If you get your ranking, these are the highest. What's the steering committee doing to help aid the process?
So steering committee is just staff. It's looking at other activities that are in the parks, special events that are planned, other construction projects that are happening, trying to figure out the sequencing of the projects.
So the same idea is what we maybe just talked about in neighborhood renewal yesterday, which is that if
coordination.
Coordination. Okay, that was just what I wanted to double check. And you've broken down the cost there about 4.5, 4.5, 4, and 4. You already have like a list ready to go of what you'd want to do. So you're going to be able to use this money up. You've got an idea. You're not just asking for this and saying
yes.
Prioritize later. Okay. Great. Maybe some general questions, which I think I can ask, that will sort of tie into a rec center conversation. But when we build a community league hall, when's the last time we built a community league hall? How about that?
Well, we don't build them.
Or I should say, when's the last time one was built using the funding that we provide as part of the grants?
A couple of recent ones have been Lindbergh Community Hall, McKernan, Belgravia's on the books. Those are the new ones.
What's usually, do we have an approximate ballpark number that we've been contributing as part of the grant process when they put in? Like, do we know what we've submitted?
We do. We have grant criteria. Mr. Brenner, I think the upper level amount for a new build is $400,000. But Mr. Brenner, so elaborate.
Ms. Cochran hit it right on. It's the Community League Infrastructure Program, and the highest level is $400,000 matching.
And we give them, we usually support them through the design work. We provide staff resources for that as well, right?
Mm.
No? Or they do all the work for a new hall. I'm not familiar with building
we,
a new hall.
We provide, the CRC in the area provides assistance around the needs assessment, around the scope of work, the program statement, what goes in it, that type of thing. We're starting, particularly on new builds, to want to open the tripartite agreement to talk to the EFCL about us getting more involved in some project management oversight. Not significant project management, but at least understanding, helping the leagues understand what they've got themselves into if they take on a total rebuild.
So, yeah, and when we're talking about building new halls now, I mean, what's the, do we know if there's a lot of demand from a lot of community leagues to build? I mean, how's that grants that we provide? Is it being readily used? Are community leagues finding it challenging to raise enough money to build a hall now?
In this budget year, it's slightly undersubscribed. There's $3 million in that program, and I think we're at about 2.3 or 2.4 in terms of a budget request, which compares differently than the Partner Facility Capital Grant Program. We do a larger number of smaller renovations, which was kind of the intent of the program in the first place, versus building new halls. So a lot of the projects are in the $50,000 to $200,000 range, as opposed to the $1 million plus range.
I guess, as you're probably the question I'm trying to get at is that, I mean, for some of these newer community leagues, and I'll go to the West End, and, you know, Lewis Estates that's been around for 20 years, the Secord that's been around now for about five, mm-hmm. I mean, they have interest in building halls, but, I mean, to raise the money to get what they need to do to build these halls seems to be a lot more challenging now than it was years past.
Right, you're absolutely right. And if you take the example of Twilliger Rec Center, yeah. Now when the Twilliger Community League was, when TRAC was being a partner in that rec center, they wanted to have a space dedicated, exclusive use space, their halls in that rec center. Their meeting space, their office and administration, they've leased a space from us in the rec center. They see that as the hub of the community, ergo a community league takes on a different form.
So that with my last 3 seconds, that's sort of the idea now, is that if you have one of these larger ones, you could essentially replace the need to build probably five or six halls.
I can't go there yet. It's okay. Too soon to make that kind of statement. We are trying to work with community leagues to talk to them about alternatives to a standalone community league for every community, and because they're not the sustainability question is an issue, but we're the landowner in this and we're a grantor, so we're not the boss of community leagues.
Councillor Essinger.
Thank you. I have a budget amendment moved by myself, seconded by Mayor Iveson, to add the Wellington Africa Multicultural Center, number 1521-1040, increased by $838,000 to fund the schematic design, funding from unallocated council funds. That's all.
The funds available.
Okay.
Thank you. And that's moved. Did you have any further questions?
No.
Okay. Next up, Councillor Walters.
Thank you. It's because I don't want to wait all the way till the transit presentation, and it's fun sometimes to go off script. I'd like to move an amendment to the main motion that we increase, that we fund capital profile smart bus profile 11-66-1293 by $10,150,000 to fund the smart bus from unallocated council funds. Thank you.
And anyone can use that source of funds. That's seconded by Councillor Sohi. Anyone can use source of funds until it runs out. But it doesn't run out until we voted on it and used it up. So, but getting in the queue. Councillor, you got no questions? You're good?
I'm good.
Okay. Councillor Sohi.
Well, I'll wait. I just wanted to move something, but I think I could know. That's the only thing I'm going to move anyway. So,
okay.
But it's not related to community services.
That's okay.
Okay.
There's no requirement that it is.
Okay. It's on page 424. that capital profile profile name Whitemud Widening, 66 Street to 34 Street, number 15662212, be funded in the amount of 33.3 million through borrowing. Do you need anything else on that?
Just a seconder.
Councillor, Nickel was going to second, but he stepped out. So, okay. Councillor Anderson, thanks.
Councillor Anderson?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Councillor Essinger, if you could take the chair.
Have the chair.
I have a couple more questions and then some amendments. I asked a written question about roof rehab, and that's under the project management maintenance services, and I got some part of the answer to my question, but the premise of my question, which may be flawed, but I wasn't told in the answer that it just wasn't answered, was that it's costing us $45 a square foot by my account
to do this
roof rehab work. Now I'm just dividing top line by bottom line there.
So we identified 4 to 5% per year on the roof inventory. We have a roof inventory over 10 million square feet.
And that's how I did the math. So if you're going to do 400,000 a year.
I was able to figure out how you did the math. Because, and I mentioned it earlier, because we've been a bit behind in terms of tackling what we should be investing in our roof rehabilitation, we identify the right amount is 4 to 5% per year to do a bit of catch-up. What we've identified here is actually a larger investment than that, to the tune of 6 to 7% over these 4 years. And our funding amount is actually something that was identified back in our 2012-14 capital budget, that currently we have roughly $180 million of deferred roof rehabilitation requirements, and this is a continuation of that strategy.
And previously, without naming names, this was gone after as something that was too expensive. And so it doesn't do you any favors when you underestimate the volume that needs to be done, and the capital profile doesn't have a number that corresponds to what you're actually doing, because your unit cost starts to drift off. So I can understand if the volume is actually 50 or 60 or 70% higher than what you've described in here, because RIM says you should be doing 4 to 5, but you're actually going to do 700,000 or 800,000 square feet worth of roof over the next 4 years.
Correct.
Then numbers make a little bit more sense. Does your replacement cost per square foot, which ranges from asphalt shingles at $4 to $6 per square foot to the expensive membranes at $28 to $33. You know, I looked at doing, I had a use on a flat roof house, and that was kind of the cost for the membranes on the flat roof house. I got rid of it because it was so expensive to have a flat roof house. But then I'm looking, does that include the project management cost, which is, I'm guessing, what the other costs are? Because we have this not very helpful pie graph on page 153 that has a blue wedge for construction with no value underneath it, and an other costs which doesn't specify anything and has no value under it.
So what
I know that's not your fault. I think that's a kink of the new system. I don't think you're trying to obfuscate. I'm just telling you from where I'm sitting, this kind of stuff does not give me enough information to know confidently that we're putting the resources where we should. I have confidence that you all know where, but this is not sufficient information for a decision maker to allocate $71 million to fixing roofs.
So the administration costs are included in that per...
The cost per square foot?
Cost per square foot.
So what is other costs?
Further to your observation, we'll look at how we repackage the information.
Okay.
At the end of the day, whether we know it doesn't actually matter.
Well, all I need to know is that you can answer the question when the question comes up. There's that fine balance between anticipating every single question and trying to get that on here. So I think that's a format thing. This is more a general feedback on the cost by activity type. I think there's an improvement that could be made for next go around.
Thank you for that.
Okay, and then I think clarification around things like the other costs in here. I'm tempted to do a subsequent motion later on about asking for You know, I think this is a good case study for when RIMS kicks out a big composite profile to do tens of millions of dollars worth of renewal work. I know we have to fix roofs. I know we fell behind. My intent is not to say we shouldn't spend this money, but it would be, I think, useful for us to get a report on what is one of these composites actually break down as, what are the cost components, how do you manage that, that sort of thing. So I'm going to work up a subsequent motion around that. Maybe we can work on that offline so that it gives you a chance to tell your story for this kind of profile, because I'm not suggesting we shouldn't fix roofs. We've fallen behind by trimming stuff like this, maybe because we didn't understand it. So that's maybe more commentary, but we'll come back around to that with the motion. Back to the fire question, Chief. You mentioned that one of the virtues in Rossdale was being able to locate some of the very specialized equipment, like the foam truck, the fan unit, and
command vehicle,
and the mobile command. Can we just buy you a bunch of mobile command units? You can park them next to each other in a Walmart parking lot instead of an EOC. Probably not. That's not really my question. My question is, when we locate those units there, do the people who are manning those units today, that's not sufficiently gender neutral, the people who are personing those vehicles today, wouldn't come with it. So those people who are on standby with that specialized equipment today, they would be freed up to be responding to other kinds of things and using normal apparatus, and the new bodies in the new place would be, so there's no operating that follows any of the equipment.
So using the command vehicle as an example, it's currently at Station 23 in the West End, and it's not staffed 24/7, 365.
So it doesn't have a body attached.
A unit has to go out of service to activate it.
Okay.
Right.
Well, you have to drive to it, right, if it's really bad.
It could happen.
And so you got to go wherever it is. Okay. And if it's really bad, I get to go too. And if it's really, really bad, we might want a helicopter. That's another story. Okay, I have two amendments, not wanting to kill the EOC, but not ready to fund it on this basis yet. I'm going to move. Actually, I think to move, I have to yield the chair, so I'll yield the chair to Councillor Essinger. Or no, you already have it, because I'm still talking. Oh, perfect, okay. So I will move to decrease profile 15700003, the co-located dispatch in EOC.
Second.
And I'll reduce it by $64,805,000, which is not the full amount, so that leaves a stub of $1.5 million about to do some design work and to carry it on and then to build on. And so that would reduce all of the tax-supported debt, and it would release $2 million of pay-as-you-go.
I'll second it.
Okay. I think we will have to do it. I'm just not ready to do it yet.
Mayor Iveson?
Yeah.
Just as a point of information, the land and design, the purchase of the land and the design work for the Joint Dispatch Center would be $8.3 million. I just throw that out there for your information.
Which is which? The... We shouldn't get into talking about land costs, so we'll figure that out offline. Maybe there's something else we should do there, but the point was the land is already owned by the city, right?
And by approving this, we would take this as a notion that you are interested in doing that and would not be freeing the land up for land enterprise to put into the market.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So okay. When we have a funding source, we can come back around and
yes, because this is a discussion that's going to happen over the next year to 2 years is what you had indicated.
Yeah, realistically with the province. So as long as it holds the land, then the question would be what's the design amount, and if it's more than 1.4, then we can come back around to that. But that's the...
Mr. Mayor, this is more of a process question.
Ask her then. She's running the meeting.
Okay.
Or you can wait a second until I take the chair back. Is it pertaining to this?
I'm happy to be non-gender based. just a process question. If there is a motion that it's important that council should be aware of some information as it relates to that motion, whatever that motion is, we will provide that context. And it's not intended to lobby around the motion in any way, shape, or form. It's purely just to ensure that there is due accuracy.
Great.
I think the more information that we have to debate it, the better.
So Mayor Iveson, in that vein, Is the wish there schematic design?
Yeah.
Okay. Can you give us some time to confirm the number that is appropriate for
yeah,
that?
And then we can amend the motion accordingly. Okay. I mean, I put it with placeholder numbers in it, but then we can figure out what we need to do to hold the land and what we need to do the schematic
Great.
Design.
Thank you.
And if it's a different number than I have, then we'll change it when the motion comes back. Because we have that opportunity too. We can kind of amend our own motions as new information comes to light. So if you want to provide that information, that's great.
You're out of time.
Okay, I do have one more motion, if I may.
You
may
quickly.
Other people had extra time to make motions. The previous chair allowed that. By which I mean myself, 6 minutes ago.
Quickly.
Capital profile name Kichiaski number 15213400 be increased by $2 million to fund phase one, and that it would come from pay as you go available for council.
Second. I'll second that.
I hadn't arranged for a second. Who got that one? It's your.
Well, I thought it was Austria, but.
Doesn't matter.
It was Councillor Henderson, I believe.
Councillor Henderson, fine.
Had you wanted to?
I'm happy to.
Okay.
Run by.
The chair is called Henderson, so
right.
I'll now take the chair back. Thank you. Well, yeah, someone would have to move a third round here on unless they're.
I'll move a third round of questions.
Second. I'll be real fast.
Okay. So that's moved by Councillor Walter, seconded by Councillor Knack. Please vote. Display the vote. And that's carried. It's not unprecedented to have no votes on those as the budget process carries on. Just saying.
But it would be unprecedented this early.
It will be. Councillor Henderson, go.
I'm just realizing no questions have been asked yet about the Kinsman design. Which we debated recently. So I'm just wondering, I mean, obviously that will have implications. I mean, we're going to have to step up with that if Commonwealth happens, and it's not a small chunk of money. So
just for clarification, the redo of the Kinsman in its full scope is one thing. Delivering on a Commonwealth Games is a different thing.
Okay.
So we're not talking $100 million to deliver the Commonwealth Games in any way, shape, or form. I think it's closer to $20 million.
Okay, and which raises the question, if there's, to keep this moving forward, we have a full design package of $9 million here. Is there a part of that that we should be moving forward without necessarily doing the whole thing that would be of use or not?
Yes.
So what part would that be?
Similar to other requests, schematic design.
How much would that be?
We'd have to. I'd like to verify Mr. Farbrother's contention
okay.
of 20
get,
million.
I will hold off on that. If you can get that back to me before we close off on this, I would be prepared to move that we consider the schematic.
So
depending on how much it is.
The design portion of that in the Kinsman Sports Center that is necessary for Commonwealth Games.
Well, I guess I was asking a larger question if it makes sense to keep the ball rolling on the. I mean, I don't know if it's worth peeling. I guess that's another part of the question. Is it worth peeling off part of the schematic design when we've approved a bigger long-term objective, whether it made more sense to do it all at the same time or not? That's an efficiency question that I need to have answered.
We'll bring back that information.
Yeah, right. So.
Well, and Councillor Henderson, given the magnitude of the project, it's a decision of council as to what priority the
yeah.
entire master plan redo is in your minds,
yeah.
given the scarcity of resources.
Well, and I understand that, and that's part of why I'm asking, but leaving it off the table entirely, it strikes me might get us into, you know, so I guess I'd like to know the most efficient way to move forward and to understand.
We'll come back to you with something on
that
then.
Thanks.
Councillor Anderson?
Well, if Councillor Henderson's considering a motion, I'll certainly second. It was the same set of questions I had here. If you're going to bring something back, could you, if we did no design until the next capital go-round, do we have time to design and build if indeed we are going to be involved in the Commonwealth Games in 2020? So that's one timing. Is there phasing that makes sense? What's the construction time, which ties into the do we have time if we don't start till 19? So just adding to the information that might come back.
Are you talking specifically on Kinsman?
Yes.
Okay. We'll get that information.
I agree with Councillor Henderson's comment about I don't think that we can do nothing here. Thanks.
Councillor Oshry?
I'm going to submit an amendment, which I'm on the fence for, but I think it's an interesting discussion, that we decrease profile 1570-0002, the fire station, Rossdale, number 21, for $4.796 million, funding being released back to the source.
Second.
Okay, that's seconded by Councillor Nicol. Thank you. I just have a couple of other questions, actually. So, Councillor Essinger, if you could take the chair.
I have the chair.
Individually, as I go through these, and Councillor or Ms. Rosen might want to weigh in on this question. Individually, as I go through many of these profiles, and it really leaps off the page with Station 21. Not to get into debating that one, but it's you make an approval now, and then couple of years out, boom, operating impacts of capital. And this council dealt with that with our previous operating budget. You show up right after an election here and you have the lights on funding for a whole bunch of decisions that you didn't make. Now that's fine, and we're trying to move to multi-year budgeting here, which I think will take care of some of this starting next year. But for us to make all of these decisions right now, particularly the ones that have borrowing implications, that has a little bit of a maybe a 0.1% next year, because there's very little borrowing when you're doing design for things. Then year two, you're starting to borrow a little more as you get in the ground. Year three, 2017, something else happens that year, pops up because you're spending a whole bunch of money because you got a bunch of shovels in the ground. And then that year and the year after, well, your borrowing is at the top, because it was, I think it's 1.6%, in the recommended budget worth of tax increase to support debt.
Yes, over 4 years, yes.
Over 4 years, and I'm guessing that's towards the back.
It is predominantly in that 17, 18, yes.
Right, and the operating impacts of capital hits in 17, 18, and 19.
Yes, and
so we make a whole bunch of decisions here, and we pay maybe 0.1, 0.2 to do a little bit of the borrowing in the first year, and then, boom, you get hit, and especially 17 and an 18. Is there the same way we do with our utilities now, where we look at, there's, you start to ramp up to do something like neighborhood renewal. And if Mr. Beckett was still sitting here and he was looking at our cash flow and what we ask our citizens to chip in for on all these different projects, he would say, holy cow, that's huge rate shock hitting in 2017. I don't have to remind all of you what happens in 2017. So, No, not Expo.
That's a good one.
That was good. So could we look at, and maybe this is something I can follow up with you offline, some kind of blending strategy?
Yes, a smoothing.
A smoothing, so that it's not as lumpy around the activation of the capital, not as lumpy around the borrowing.
Absolutely.
And actually, the previous council did that for its borrowing. It took the
multi-door bridge and the Northwest Police.
And the Northwest Police, and phased that in evenly over 4 years.
It did.
So it could have, the previous council could have kicked us the borrowing for those things into this budget, but didn't. It brought it forward, and doing that actually creates a little bit of pay-as-you-go.
It does.
Which gives you some additional flexibility to fund some of the smaller projects that go through pay-as-you-go.
Which gives you some additional flexibility to fund some projects, yes.
Which we don't have a whole bunch of in this.
You do not.
Okay. So these are general questions. They arise from the example of the fire station. But I'm going to work with Ms. Rosen a little bit to see if there's some cash management, cash flow, rate shock strategies we can look at here that do mean you raise the tax a little bit earlier, but it means that you smooth out the increase and you do use that money in the interim to fund important infrastructure.
Yes.
The council doesn't have to do it.
Yes.
Did it last time.
You can bring some options around that after you and I have a discussion.
Okay. We'll chat about that and we'll see what we can bring back to council.
Thank you.
I will take back the chair. Thank you. And go to Councillor Nicol.
Yeah, I was just about, I was saving this discussion for operations side, because as we make capital decisions over a four-year time frame, it's like I said from those earlier arguments that the decisions that we make now reduces our flexibility down the pipe. And in terms of, like, as the mayor has said, in terms of the blending, the echo effect of capital decisions today need to be tracked through, and I don't know how we would do this, but part of the documentation is here I have a large capital profile, and, you know, the operating impacts over a period of time are very, very important as to be on the sheet of paper. Let's be honest about it as context as we go forward. I think that's a very useful tool, and that's part of that staging concept that the mayor's talking about.
So, Councillor Nicol, we do include the estimated operating impacts, and Councillor Mack did ask a question, and we did produce a table which is on page 19 of your capital budget questions that actually then lists all of the operating impacts of the capital projects that are recommended for funding. The challenge that we have, and I'll be really honest with you about this, is that it's easier sometimes to project certain operating impacts than it is others. So if I could give an example, I would suggest to you that the operating impacts for Fire Station 21 are actually probably pretty accurate because they have a well-established model with respect to operating.
They're predicted.
Yeah, for others, we give it our best shot at the time.
But there is... go ahead, Mr. Farmer.
Well, here's the real question for you. Is it's easier to identify the capital now and pay the bill later, which is why credit cards are very popular. But there's always a cost of paying later. And so, to the mayor's comment, if you pay now and stick the money in the bank, you can either earn interest on it or you can do other things with it. And that tends to be the kind of model where people buy down their houses quickly as opposed to renting for long term. But there's a political process around that.
Absolutely, but it's to the mayor's comments with regards to not sticking the bill all at once in 2017, 19, or whatever. And we have to have the balancing act between the capital and the cost of operating that capital. Right? We've built a pile of rec centers that we're now absorbing, correct?
Yes, but we also did message that quite clearly at the time that those capital projects were approved as to what the operating impacts would be and what would be the tax increase involved around that. Just the same way that we did, quite frankly, for the LRT and for transit and for other projects. We do message the operating impacts.
So hopefully everybody's clear.
Well, that is just about perfectly the three rounds of questions, and that's not uncommon at this level of detail for the community services one. So I think you folks are excused. I'll still work with you on a roofs subsequent, but we can deal with that whenever. Then we're going to take the 15-minute break, and then when we come back, we'll probably fairly quickly deal with corporate services and then get into sustainable development, I think. So we'll see you in 15.